And the reason I'm happy is because I'm leaving an extraordinary organisation, but in extraordinary hands, not just from the amazing staff team, our amazing chief executive, and our amazing new chair of the board, and the trustee board that's changing. So I'm very, very hopeful about the future. But you will hear from others about the next stages. Tanya just asked me to say a little bit about what we've done over the last few years. So we were going to do this event 2.5 years ago, but then events happened. And actually, it's been a really rich and important time for the work that 360 has been doing. A lot's changed, but Stephen was just reminding me that it was probably 7 years ago now that a group of us sat in this very room kicking around the idea on what would it look like to have an open data standard in the security sector and why. It must not be possible, because if it was possible, someone would already have done it. And it turned out that wasn't the case. It had just been too difficult to grapple with. So with the help of a couple of the founding gang who are here today, we set up 360 Giving because we love the charity sector and the foundation sector so much, but we got so frustrated about how hard it was to find any information. And when I was in my early stages of being a donor, I always thought, I must just be the clueless one. Everybody else must know what's going on, and I'm the only one who can't navigate it. But then found that while we all have amazing relationships between the people we work with and the charities we support, finding the information is incredibly hard, and that just seemed wrong in a modern internet era. So we thought, well, let's try this. What if we had a data standard that was developed for foundations, for small teams, not just vast organizations, that made it really, really easy to share data in a way that's useful? And we tried it, we workshopped it, we tried to make sure that this idea would work for foundations, for donors, and crucially for charities and fundraisers and academics who would want to use the data. We didn't want to create a data project that was never used. And that was a really founding principle for us. We wanted to make it possible to find the projects that you wanted to fund, to find the other foundations who might fund with you, to learn what had happened in the past and to track things as much as possible in real time to make all of our jobs easier. Unprecedented is probably the year of the decade at the moment, but we've seen during the last few years foundations and funders needing to know what's happening as it happens so that we can maximise the use of resources. Having said that, when we got going, I was lucky enough, and I'm still very lucky, to be able to be partners in crime with my husband, Will, who's over there. And when I said, you know, maybe we should do something about an open data standard, but you know, it'll never work, he said, no, just do it. In those early days, I was very cautious because the philanthropy sector doesn't always move at lightning speed. And he said, no, you've got to be bold. Have a moonshot goal that is 80% of UK grant-making funds, by amount, published to open data standard that anyone can use within 5 years. Now, sadly, I think it's taken closer to 6.5, but we've done it. I thought it was a ridiculous target, but I thought, well, it helps, it looks dramatic, it sounds brave, and then if we get to 20%, that would be amazing. I never really believed that all this would be possible, and that's a testament to the work of everybody here today. Where we are now is 233 funding organisations, 750,000 individual grants, £175 billion worth of UK grants published through the 360 data standard. So moonshot. And all the sectors within our world are represented in the funders, people in this room, central and local government, community foundations, corporate foundations, family foundations, lottery distributors. And we met our goal, which is that the same standard, the same tool works for Wellcome, National Lottery, to tiny foundations that might have 1.5 members of staff. It works for everyone. 360 Giving is now the official government data standard. And that one was hard. all of this has taken a lot of work by a lot of people. But it really, I think, showed some of its worth in its most dramatic way during the COVID response, when the team was nimble enough to develop the COVID tracker, where foundations were updating very, very fast the grants they were making in the early days of the emerging disaster. And a lot of funders really stepped up, not just with the speed they were dispersing money, but the attempt to coordinate, to collaborate, to make sure the money was going where it needed to. And we could prove that data isn't, it's not just, you know, a nice academic thing. This is what we need to make our jobs better. I'm particularly proud, even though I played no part in it, in the diversity, equality and inclusion standard, because that is saying we can keep on adding value. If we can get consensus around a piece of data that's been too complicated for anyone to agree on before, but we can coordinate, we can consult, and then all of the wonderful funders in our community start sharing that data, and it opens up so much possibility to look at where we are, the diversity of the sector at the moment, and where we want to be, and to make that a helpful resource for charities themselves. The standard keeps on changing. It's never going to be fixed, immutable, and there are amazing projects that are partway through or starting around geography, about re-granting, and now grants to individuals, which at the start we said, that's just never going to be possible, that's too difficult, keep well away from that. But because of the reputation that the team has built and the trust that people have in us as a standard, we can now do that, and we can respond to foundations saying, this is what we want to do next. This is what we would like the standard to help us to do. And particularly it being user-led. What do the charities need from this data? What do the funders want to do as they become much more skilled data champions? Not just using the data, but looking at their own organisations and saying, across all of our funding work, across all the ways we help charities, do we have the data we need? Are we sharing it? Are we learning from it? We really try to make sure that where there are interesting conversations happening, 360 is involved and listening and helping drive the conversations. So most recently, 360 worked on specialist legal advice and did a piece of research providing analysis, influencing policymakers, and not just for existing funders of the work, but helping bring new groups together to see how they could allocate money. And there's my own trust, Indigo Funds, provision of legal services and law centres. I was really passionate about this because everyone should be funding this. So that ability to start new conversations, to join people up, is really, really important to me. I can't quite believe it has been 7-ish years now. I formally stepped off the board, and you'll hear from our amazing chair. We only have one other board member who's been there almost from the start, but it's lovely to see other board members here today. And we started as a kind of ragtag group of people just working together collaboratively, not part of our job descriptions, not something we're probably supposed to be spending time on, but all of us united by wanting to do everything we could to help the foundation sector be the best it could be and to change the experience for the charities we work with. Tanya asked me what I'm most proud of. And I think the things that I'm most proud of are that this has been voluntary. At the start of this, we said, well, should we just be lobbying government to change regulations and force everybody to publish? I very much voted against that because I think philanthropists are quite good at pushing back sometimes against changes that they're not bought into. But we thought that foundations would understand the value of this and they could see how it would help the charities who they really care about helping. So it was a long time of going door to door saying, you've never really heard of this open data thing, but this is why it helps, this is why it would help your work. And I'm so grateful to all the early foundations who took a real leap into the dark and quite often signed up not really knowing what I was talking about. But that got the momentum growing, more people got involved, and the team worked tirelessly to make sure that they had a positive experience. So the fact that this has come about with no one being forced, no one feeling that they had to do it or they'd get into trouble, no one feeling that it was just the tick box thing they had to do, but they understand why it would help. And I do believe that's what foundations want to do. They want to help the charities they work with. This is in a way a little thing, but I'm very proud to be leaving because I never wanted this to be the Fran Perrin Project, and it absolutely hasn't been. I've been happy to sometimes be the public face of it because I love working with other donors, and I wanted to show that this was not going to be a scary transparency thing that would get them into trouble with newspapers, that I understood their fears and their concerns, but this was a step we could take. But I wanted to know that this organisation would exist because it's driven by so many people, because it is owned by the community that it serves. And that's what makes me happy to step down. Not because I want to get rid of everybody and see the back of it, but because 360 doesn't need me anymore. And that is the best place to be in. I am incredibly excited to see what Fuzia, the trustees and the team are going to do in the next few years. I can't wait to see what the next moonshot is going to be. But I know that 360 will keep on driving the conversations, being ambitious, making sure that the charities and the users come first. And I feel incredibly grateful that I've been able to be a small part of that. So thank you.
So at the risk of sounding like a supporting actress giving my Oscars thank you speeches, my job is going to be to do the thank yous. I'll try and keep it as short as possible, but I will be reading from my list so I don't miss anyone. So firstly, a big thank you to Fran. It's rare to have the privilege of working with someone who is so talented, but also so humble. It's been an honour to be part of Fran's team. I've really enjoyed working with Fran, and her leadership has been so important to the organisation and to me. And as she mentioned, what's been achieved has been incredible, and I think that is in no small part down to Fran's leadership and her vision. And I think the other part of it, I don't know if it's Rachel here yet. I was also going to say that I've only been able to do the things that I've been able to do over the last couple of years because I inherited the foundation from Rachel, who was the first chief executive for the first 4 years. He did a great job, and in fact this event was supposed to happen, was supposed to be Rachel's leaving too, and my welcome. And so hopefully Rachel will be able to come today to share this, because she did play a big part in the journey that we've been on so far. And as I was preparing for this, I looked at the notes from the previous event that was going to happen that got cancelled. And actually, one of the things that was even looking at the invite, we've got more than double the number of funders publishing now than we did when those invites were sent out for the previous event. And I think that's in no small part to the really hard work of the team. And a big thank you to my team who've been amazing, and I think particularly to Catherine, who's done such a brilliant job rising to the challenges in difficult circumstances and has provided amazing support both to many of the publishers in the room, but also to the team internally and to me, helping me get up to speed and putting up with all my questions and ideas. Wouldn't have been able to do it without Catherine. And as Fran mentioned, an extension to our team is the team at Open Data Services Cooperative. And we have Stephen and Rob here today. And for those who don't know, Open Data Services Cooperative provide all the support for the data standard and advise us, but also do the development and maintenance and support for the tools. And again, also have to deal with our ridiculous questions like, why can't we do that? and a really important part of the organisation, and again, what we do and how we do it, we wouldn't be able to do that without the team in place. As Fran mentioned, we've got some of the former trustees here, but also the current trustees, and also really important to the organisation. And I want to do a particular thank you to Jeff, who's been our fantastic treasurer for the last 6 years, and will be ending his term of office in November. And it's been great to work with Jeff, and the organisation's changed massively in that time. It's been really good to have his support as well. Another big shout out is to our stewardship committee, and we've got our chair here, Linda. and the stewardship committee, a lot of people don't know about, but it is a really important part of our governance. The stewardship committee looks after the data standard itself, and Linda's our independent chair, but we also have a few other members of the stewardship committee here. We're really pleased that we've been able to recently recruit new people onto the committee to reinvigorate the committee, and we also have more publishers on the board of that committee, and that's really important to us. And you'll see that why we've got the stewardship committee, the board and the staff have got badges on, that's so that you can see who the stewardship committee are, and it's really important to have publishers engaged in our work and shaping that work going forward as well. And also for so many of you for being involved in steering groups and user research. I'm looking around this room and there's lots of people who have been the people on the list that we've been calling and phoning and hassling generally. but it's really important for us to make sure our work is shaped by you and it's meeting your needs. Big thank you to our funders. So Esme Fairbairn Foundation, National Lottery Community Fund, Indigo Trust, Paul Hamlin Foundation, Tudor Trust and Pears Foundation. And they've all done more than just give us money. The money is important. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without it. But I think it's also really important those organisations have championed our work. And Fran talked about some of the people and organisations coming on board early. That's really important, and showing confidence in what we're doing and supporting others to get involved. And big thank you to all of you for coming today and for publishing your data. It is really important. We are really seeing the collective impact of all of that data coming together. And we want to extend that even further with the new strategy. So you'll see there's some leaflets around here and on the way out as well. So just to give some highlights about what we're planning to do. Really ambitious plans for the next few years. But I think it's possible for us to do things collectively. And for us, it's not just about what we do, but how we do it. And our values are at the heart of our approach. It's been great to have so many of you engaging in the strategy. It's been brilliant to see the collaborations expanding to extend our impact. So Fran mentioned the work with the DEI Data Group, but also the work with the Grantmakers Alliance and Association of Charitable Organisations has been fantastic to look at how we can really work with new organisations and reach new organisations. And our work with the Access to Justice Foundation on the specialist legal advice. And those collaborations and partnerships are really core to what we do and how we work. And we shared in our newsletter on Monday our approach to inclusion and the fact that we have been awarded the NICE Kite Mark for Neurodiversity Inclusivity Confident Employers. So if that's something that you want to know more about, then do get in touch. And it's something that's really important for us in all our work and to really embed our values. And I think it's also something where we're seeing the benefit of that, both in terms of our strategy, but how others are working with us as well. So we look forward to working with you further and continuing to have more exciting developments to come over the next year. And with that, I'll introduce you over to Fosia.
Big shoes to fill, haven't I? I think that's the first thing that struck me when I walked in. I'm basically going to talk about three things. Firstly, how much we owe to Fran. I know she's going to be embarrassed, but I'm going to do it anyway. Secondly, I'll talk a bit about looking forward and the strategy and what we're planning for the future. And thirdly is really a call to action in terms of the work that we do. Let's just pretend that didn't happen. The work that we do and how much we need everybody's involvement. So in terms of thanking Fran, I mean, Fran has this way of persuading people to do things and they don't even realise that they've said yes, hence me being here. but I think that's a rare talent. And I think what really struck me when she was talking was the point about using regulation and legislation to push people to do things, or persuading people that this is actually really good for us, this is good for the sector, this is good for communities. And that approach really epitomises the way that Fran works. But as well as that, her attention to detail has just been brilliant. Her vision in terms of where we need to get to has been brilliant. And it's been so inspiring for me, you know, standing on the sidelines, watching how this organisation has grown and how important it has become to the sector. And that really, really is a testament to Fran's work. So thank you, Fran. And just really sort of carrying on from that, somebody asked me, why did you put yourself forward for this position? And actually, I have to tell you that I have four boys, and my husband, and we were all sitting down, and I told them about the organisation. They didn't really understand what it was about, but I talked about data and why it was important, and they literally were laughing on the floor, saying, "You're going to be involved in this?" Because I have difficulty navigating my way around a TV remote control. So I'm not the most likely candidate for this position. But in a way, I think I am the most likely candidate because of the fact that I am not a data expert. But what I do know is what I want data to do, what I want it to get us to. And so, you know, people who know me know that I'm really passionate about inequality, about poverty, about the issues that are happening around us. And whenever I talk about poverty and inequality and people say to me, well, what should we be doing? Should we be campaigning? Should we be lobbying? Should we be out on the streets? My first response is always, we should be focusing on data. And people are surprised at that because, you know, that's not the most immediate and obvious answer. But I really do believe that we cannot have transformational change without understanding who we fund and what we fund. That's the basics of it. And that's why it's been so brilliant to see what 360 has done. And in terms of looking forward, you know, this first stage that we've got to in terms of people publishing data has been critical and has built up the credibility of 360. What Tania and the vision of the trustees is going forward is really thinking about how we use the data. So we've got the data now. It's great, people can access it, people can look at it. But how are we using it in our funding decisions? How are we using it to identify gaps? How are we using it to see where the need is the greatest? That's the next phase of 360, and that's where we need your help as well. You know, we're doing more research, we're doing more analysis, and that's really, really fundamental. But we also need your cooperation to say to us, well, these are the gaps that we've identified. This is the data that we need. This is how we want to use it. That is fundamental for our growth going forward. And I think we cannot have that truly transformational change until all of us as funders start using the data in that way. Collaboration is key. And you know, anyone who knows me knows that I like to work in collaboration. And I think funders, this is one thing we need to get better at. But the example of the Legal Justice Network work is, I think, a brilliant example where funders are coming together and not duplicating what we do, which is such a waste of resources. So I think just to end with, what I would say is that 360 cannot work without you. It just simply can't. It relies on your input, it relies on you taking part, it relies on you providing the data, providing the guidance, providing the questions, challenging us, provoking us, saying to us, well, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? That's what we need to continue to grow. So my call would be, please stick with us, commit to us as you already are, because I really do believe that transformational change happens with a small group of committed people. So thank you.